It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
All right, we are here. We are here, Blurzins. You know, we're coming at you live from the gaming portals. We're over here off of Steam. We're over here off of PlayStation Network. We're over here out of Xbox, and we're out of here in Nintendo land. So we're here just to, you know, give you the greatness that is gaming. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meet You Meets presents
a Blurred City podcast.
All right, so we are finally wrapping down season 5. This is our penultimate episode before we head into our holiday break. Much needed, by the way. We are still missing the Afro Puff Samurai. We tried, but negotiations have been hard. So with that, we're going to touch on the Gaming Awards. Really, one game won everything, so it's kind of going to be a brief discussion on it. We're mostly going to be talking about the new announcements that happened at the Gaming Awards and then any other conversation that goes from there. And then after we touch on the Gaming Awards, the pod might go a little bit off the rails with some subjects, but just lock in. So we'll put timestamps at the bottom, depending on how this convo goes, because both of us are a little... a little vexed at the moment. So let's get... Oh, we need a strong legal speakle.
Yeah, because the purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources that we reference, and I mean every last source, is owned by the respective companies. Our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own. Reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised. Please do not sue us or send us to the gulag.
All right, so for the 2025 Gaming Awards, it was literally about one game. If you're a big gamer or if you're aware of it, just keeping up. So the game that won basically everything was, it's a French game, French indie game. I believe the first way you say it is Clair Obscur Expedition 33. So this is like an RPG role-playing game, turn-based fantasy, bits and pieces like that. So a lot of streamers were kind of into this game from what I saw over the course of the year. So like a lot of your biggest streamers, RDC, others were touching on this game, playing it. So I've heard it, the gameplay and a lot of it is really good. I made the joke last week that, hey, we're going to get on and we're going to complain about games that we didn't play. Especially because, like, I mean, this category, I think for the game of the year, I played 3 out of the 6 like nominees or so, and this was the one that I didn't play. But from what I saw, it was really incredible. And just like the year, I believe Spider-Man was nominated, Baldur's Gate 3 was the game of the year that won. And then I was like, okay, let me go play Baldur's Gate 3, and Baldur's Gate 3 is one of my favorite games of all time, so I'm definitely going to tap in. But Meech, what are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, just from what I've heard, because again, I never heard of this game until the awards show, been hearing like all the praises of it, seeing like video and gameplay of it, hearing the music and the voice acting, it's actually been kind of incredible, not gonna lie. And even hearing about the story behind the game, like the creator of it, is kind of incredible as well. In case
what's
you don't
story?
Know, is the fact that it was created by a guy, Guillaume Brocha, I probably butchered the name, I'm sorry, but he actually was fired from Ubisoft. He used to work at Ubisoft, then got fired. So what he decided to create his own gaming studio with his friends, and this was the product.
That's huge, especially for like this being one of your big projects to just like win everything. And like, because if I just say it, they won Game of the Year, Best Game Direction, Best Narrative, Best Art, Best Score and Music, Best Performance. They had, I think, voice acting performance. They had three nominees in the category, Best Indie Game and Best Indie Game Debut and Best RPG. So they won everything that was relevant.
Pretty much. Yeah, it was just a landslide. And again, this being like probably like their first project is a strong testament. It's a strong showing. And yeah, it seems like this is a person we need to keep our eyes on.
Absolutely. I think the one thing I was a bit surprised about was Best Score in Music. Or Best Art. It was one or the others. And I was surprised because like Death Stranding had like its gameplay was all like music. Music was like integral to the story with that one. So I'm a bit surprised, but I did have a question for the Game of the Year. Is it quote unquote critics that vote or is it the fans that vote?
Oh, it's primarily critics because there's another award called the Player's Choice. I mean, Player's Voice. That's where like actual people like vote on everything.
Okay.
And just FYI, it was not even nominated.
Oof. Yeah, so with that...
It was nominated. Just didn't win. My bad.
Yeah, I know. Did you think Silent Hill F would win any awards?
Honestly, I did. I thought like for the art direction, it was going to get... but it wasn't even nominated in that one. And then probably another category I thought it had a strong chance of getting. It was the, hold on, let me see if I can find the category. But it was this one other category. Oh, yeah. That's right. It was the best performance because the actress who played the main character in that, she put her heart and soul into that.
Mm.
And I'm like, dang. But yeah, it's like I thought it at least would have gotten that.
That's fair. So other ones that won audio design, Battlefield 6.
Let's talk about that because absolutely not.
All right, I gotta look at the nominees for this one again.
Oh yeah, that was the one that I was also like, heck not.
That's funny.
Yeah, so here's the nominees for best audio design because I have it all up.
Okay.
It was, besides Battlefield 6, you have Clair Obscur, Expedition 33.
Of course.
You have Death Stranding 2, Ghost of Yote, and Silent Hill F.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's a bit surprising, that one. Maybe because of just, like, the... I know, like, Battlefield 6 had a lot of love this year, just with its gaming and, like, especially in comparison to the new Call of Duty Black Ops game. that you bashed them. So I mean, just by comparison, I think that had it. So other things that were kind of surprising with best ongoing, so No Man's Sky won that award, but I was surprised Fortnite was nominated because I feel like every time I hear about Fortnite, people keep saying it's fell off.
Honestly, I keep hearing that Fortnite like is about to like, it's always either it's falling off or it's about to go through a renaissance / resurgence. It's always one of those two when I hear Fortnite. And then, yeah, as I said, for best ongoing game, I was surprised about No Man's Sky, but then again, I haven't touched No Man's Sky since it launched. Basically, back when it was in non-playable mode.
That's fair.
So I guess, like, hey, it must have really popped off. Yeah, as I said, like, I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm surprised about that. I'm surprised, like, hey, at least Marvel Rivals and Helldivers 2 got a nomination. I'm glad about that.
So then with Best Multiplayer Arc Raiders, which I feel was a new game as well, that got talked. So I'm surprised it beat the cut for it because I feel like I've only started hearing about it in like the last month and a half. And I know like at some point in November, there's the cutoff to that. So, but yeah, but I think one of the biggest surprising ones was the Best Adaption.
Really?
Probably because it's the most controversial, but I mean, with the nominees, it was a Minecraft movie, Devil May Cry, Splinter Cell, Death Watch, The Last of Us Season 2, which was the winner, and then the Until Dawn movie. I mean, given what was nominated, it makes sense because a lot of people that actually played Devil May Cry kind of hated the game. Well, not the game. They kind of hated the Netflix show. I mean, people that didn't watch it or play the games enjoyed it. A Minecraft movie, I mean, it was a $1 billion movie. I don't think it was rated very well, but I haven't seen it. And then Until Dawn isn't really a safe, quote unquote, faithful adaption to the game at all.
Yeah, no, I was surprised I even got nominated. I'm here like, I swear, if Until Dawn somehow comes on top, I will rage.
I mean, I like relatively, I thought it was inoffensive and it was just a movie, but yeah, it wasn't like faithful to the game.
It was Until Dawn in name only.
Exactly. And just like a few like foreshadowing or callbacks or Easter eggs and stuff like that. So another one, I don't think this should be an award, the most anticipated game.
That's why I'm looking exactly at that right now.
I feel like that shouldn't be an award because like they would win it every year.
You show right, Grand Theft Auto 6. Yeah, spoiler alert, Grand Theft Auto 6 won that handily because people been waiting over 13 years.
But I feel like that's just weird because it's like if you went to the Oscars and it's like, what's the most anticipated movie for next year and a movie won it, I'd be like, that's kind of a weird award to have. But I mean, for the nominees for this one, it's obviously Grand Theft Auto 6, but is the winner. But 007 First Light, Grand Theft Auto 6 was the winner. Marvel's Wolverine, which is something we're going to be happy about. Resident Evil Requiem, which I won't see you again. Wait, is that before or after April?
Requiem? It's after.
Conversations.
It's going to be a dual effort. It's going to be a dual effort. Both of us are going to be like, nah, come back here. You're playing this level. My bad.
So then The Witcher 4 as well. So, I just feel like that shouldn't be an award category.
It's all right. I don't see like any problems of it.
I mean, it's just a weird award to have.
Oh, also, I need to correct myself. It is before.
Oh, okay. So you're good.
Uh-oh, it's before. But I'll finish it. I'll finish it day of.
Okay, so the one that, for me, I guess, would be the most controversial because there's five nominees and I've played two of them and like sit-throughs and then I've watched playthroughs for the other. But for the best action adventure, Hollow Knight Silksong won. So I beat out Death Stranding 2 on the beach, beat out Ghosts of Yotei, which, tricky. Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. I mean, come on. And then Split Fiction. Which I heard is a good two-player game to have. So, again, I've seen people play Hollow Knight Silksong, so I don't really have anything bad to say about it. And Ghost of Yotei, as much as I enjoyed it, it doesn't hit the same as Ghost of Tsushima for me, but I feel like story-wise, but the gameplay is much better with it just because of the variety that it provides. And then Death Stranding 2 on the beach was like such an in-depth game, but I can understand why it wouldn't have won that. But yeah, that one I'm a bit surprised about.
Yeah, another one that was actually a surprise for me is actually the best action game. So it was Hades 2 that won, which again, I've never played that one. I've never heard of that game. But it beat out Battlefield 6, it beat out Doom the Dark Ages, it beat out Ninja Gaiden 4, and then it beat out Shinobi Art of Vengeance. Now, again, this is also like a category where I've only played two of the games and know a lot about and seen gameplay of the third.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that one was pretty surprising to me. I'm like, oh. So, yeah, of course, I needed to see what that one was all about.
Yes. So, for the last category that I want to talk about is like best debut indie game, and obviously Clear Obscur. Expedition 33 won. I was a bit surprised by Dispatch making the cut because I feel like it came out within the last month and a half ish because I know they released like two episodes for 4 straight weeks. So, and again, like I mentioned, like the cutoff is at some point in November, but that was definitely a good game. I think if they could have released it earlier, it might have gotten a bit more. But hopefully they drop a season 2 for Dispatch. So We need that in our system. So anything else you want to cover before we get into the kind of like the gaming, what's hot? And I feel like the biggest thing that came out of it.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Were multiple announcements?
No. As I said, like, pretty much we covered at least the main things I wanted to talk about. And it's kind of interesting that, like, yeah, Clair Obscur Expedition 33, clean sweep of almost every single category it was nominated in.
All right, so transitioning to announcements, there is a major announcement, Meech, that I will let you cover.
It's time. This was an announcement that you literally texted me and asked me if I was okay, and I didn't respond because I was not okay. All right, let me paint this picture for you. You see, it takes place like in a space. You see a video of a spaceship, and it was going about throughout the stars. The spaceship, it looked very eerily similar to something, but you know, hey, it could have been just me grasping at straws. Could me just be hoping? And then it comes out. You see this female protagonist like walk through a cave, and then you hear a familiar hum with a blue glow. What was that? Oh, it was none other than a lightsaber, because we get Star Wars Fate of the Flippin' Old Republic. Let's go, baby. All right. So, okay, here's how we go. Why am I clamoring so hard for this? Not only just because it's a Star Wars property, but because it's an Old Republic property. Why is this important? Because, for one, the only thing Old Republic related that's been, like, released was Star Wars The Old Republic, which is the only MMO that's like still active right now. You also had Knights of the Old Republic, which is fan beloved, very beloved, it and its sequel. And then...
Wait, there is a sequel to it?
Oh yeah, Knights of the Old Republic 2, The Sith Lords, which came out before The Old Republic. So those two are prequels to the MMO.
But, okay.
Both games, phenomenal. You get the likes of Darth Revan, you get Darth Treya, you get Darth Nihilus. Come on now. But in any case, like, yeah, this is a beloved property, a beloved era in Star Wars history. And then when they announced, like, oh yeah, there's gonna be a Knights of the Old Republic remake, everyone was excited. And then nothing came out of that. It was just never seen or heard from again, which made all of us quite angry. So to see that they're actually doing an Old Republic property, not just an Old Republic property, but it seems to be within the current Star Wars lore. Well, there was nothing in the Old Republic era that contradicted it, because the closest you got to anything Star Wars in the current canon is like 200 years prior to episode one. So going back thousands of years beforehand, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt at all. So yeah, very excited about it. It looks to be a single player game. It looks gorgeous. I just need to know, hey, are we about to have some character customization again? Am I about to create my own Sith to rule the galaxy? Sorry, my bad. Spoiling what I do to the galaxy, my bad. Woo! All right, I'm going to stop. I keep going.
I know the creator said it's going to be a lot of choice-based with that game. So
I'm about to cook!
I can only imagine the bleeding of this Kyber crystal, if that's going to happen with your playthrough.
Oh, the galaxy is cooked with me. Let's just say, hey, after April, whoever the person that's going to be with me, she's going to see the darkness within.
So going from there, I would say it's either second or third, but I'll go with this one because it's also in your realm, but Leon Kennedy is confirmed for Resident Evil Requiem, if you want to touch on that as well.
Oh, yes. So after much speculation, after like, because there were like a bunch of leaks that were out, like, oh yeah, Leon's in the game. Of course, I don't fully believe leaks until they get confirmed, because trust me, the internet's full of liars. Spoiler alert. So,
yes.
So, yeah, so, hey, Leon Kennedy, the main protagonist of Resident Evil 2, 4, and 6, is now back. which is great considering the fact that, like, hey, Chris Redfield came back for Resident Evil 7 and 8. So it makes a lot of sense to bring back the other most beloved Resident Evil character. Now, is Claire Redfield going to show up? Hey, time will tell. Time will tell. But
I was just about to ask that.
Yeah, time will tell if she's going to make an appearance. But hey, we're excited to see the direction that Leon's going to bring and his unnecessary backflips.
I wonder, since this is 9 and then they switch protagonists, I wonder what 10 would be, because I feel like you don't get up to 9 and then just stop there. I feel like
you
definitely got to get to 10.
Yeah, you have to. Resident Evil X, come on.
Oh, that would be sick. You need to hurry up. Hurry up and trademark that.
Wait. RX Rex. Oh, no. We having zombie Tyrannosauruses. Oh.
Trademark that tonight.
It has to happen. Come on, Capcom. Listen to us.
Send that cease and desist letter to
us. Give us the Rex.
All right. So, but I think probably either second or third biggest announcement, we have the Street Fighter teaser trailer for that movie. So that's going to drop October 16th, 2026. That has an insanely stacked cast.
All right.
All the characters are as close to the games as possible. I would say Mortal Kombat is kind of close, other than, you know, creating a new character, but that's here or there. But all I will say is this for this movie, please turn off your critical hats, because it looks like a movie where you're not going to have to do a lot of thinking, which is a compliment, because sometimes you need that.
Yep.
So that means we're going to get Mortal Kombat 2 and Street Fighter in the same year.
As the rivalry should continue.
You know what's crazy, Mitch, is that with all these, like, gaming adaptions, how has there not been a Grand Theft Auto TV series or movie?
Because I think the whole point of Grand Theft Auto is that you're able to go around and do whatever the heck you want. How is that going to translate into a series? I don't know.
I feel like because obviously with most of them, even though you do kind of just do, like, crazy things. I mean, I don't want to get put on a list, so I'm not going to say what I do to get 5 stars. But so I think that, like, what's the one with CJ and the crew?
San Andreas.
San Andreas, I feel like, would make a perfect TV series.
Oh, it would. It would. And yeah, don't let it debut on BET.
Nah, these are HBO. Well, I guess they're going to be Netflix series now, given what we just talked about last week. So, but that would be dope. So other big announcement, there's going to be another Star Wars game, Galactic Racer.
Yeah, so it was about that. We care about one thing.
Sorry. So the creators of Baldur's Gate 3 are creating a new game called Divinity. There's going to be 2 new Tomb Raider games. There's another game coming out, Phantom Blade Zero, which is next fall. And then there were a lot of other mini game announcements. So with that, we can kind of transition into our usual what's hot, because I have something also in terms of trailers that dropped this week.
Oh, yeah. So, before I let you cook on that, I'm going to go ahead and just talk about, like, the main ones apart from, like, a certain one. You know, One Piece is actually about to hit its
season 1 finale.
Yeah, season 1 finale somehow, because One Piece has now officially transitioned into a, instead of it being like, oh yeah, going arc by arc by arc by arc and it's continuous, they're doing it in the season style. You know, like how they did JJK, how they're doing all the anime nowadays. So
do you think that's a hint that we're almost at the end?
I mean, the manga is currently in its final arc, so...
Ah, okay.
So it is a strong indication.
Okay,
how long it's going to take to get to said finale is a different story.
Yes, because, like, Black Clover has been in its final arc in the manga for, like, 4 years, at least. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then of course we got Spy Family season 3. It looked like
that next episode. I don't know if you saw the last one.
You show right, I did. Oh, I know.
Oh.
The, Some things about to pop off.
Cooked.
Somebody's going down. Gotcha Kuda still going crazy. As I said, I'm stopping it. At least turns to anime right there, because hey, there's another thing we got to talk about later. We have the Absolute Universe. Absolute Joker is giving Absolute Bruce absolute trauma. At least
giving me trauma.
At least we get an Absolute Wonder Woman beating Absolute Batman. The Ultimate Spider-Man. The penultimate issue dropped, and at first it looked like At first, it looked like my Ultimate Peter was looking like 616 for a little bit, and I was getting hurt. I was getting so hurt about that until the last page. I'm like, yeah, blessed.
We need it.
Blessed. But and speaking of 616 Peter, 616 Peter is currently cooking.
Oh, I'm glad you're on Spider-Man. You made me remember what I was about to say. We're not getting the third into the Spider beyond the Spider. First movie.
Oh yeah. Oh. Oh yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
We're not getting it.
Not anymore. Not anymore. All right. In case y'all wondering why we laughing so hard, it has been revealed that Josh Allen and Haley Steinfeld are having their first child together. And somewhere out in the ether, Shameik Moore is throwing fists in the air. He didn't join the gym. And is just lifting weights like Eddie Brock.
He's getting a revenge body for someone he never had.
It's insane. It's insane. He's probably gonna go back to what's her name? gonna go back to Liz, or gonna try to.
Oh my gosh! It's
punching air. It's crazy. All right, and then also in terms of movies, because you got Avatar: Fire and Ash. That's dropping on the week that this episode releases. We got the return to Silent Hill that trailer dropped. It looks like it's about to cook. Also, we got the trailer to Supergirl.
Yes.
And with that, we see how James Gunn decided to channel another version of Guardians of the Galaxy when making this Supergirl film. Of course, fans are mixed. I'm excited.
There was one big tease that if you blink and you miss it, that I think a lot of people didn't appreciate.
Oh, you mean Jason Momoa, a.k.a. Drago, as the GOAT Lobo?
Yes, the one that can't be killed. And that will put Superman in a pack.
Yes, and now he's about to fight Superman. All I'm saying is, y'all better not get rid of Lobo. He needs to stay.
He has to be. Is he an anti-hero later on? I know he starts as a villain.
Yeah, he starts as a villain. He's basically like Wolverine. That's the best comparison.
Okay, yeah.
Got that Wolverine publicity. Crazy.
But because I don't really know the plot. Obviously, it was a teaser. We'll get more into it. But thinking about it, I think it'll be more about kind of her discovering who she is as a hero. Because obviously, we saw her at the end of Superman. We've kind of seen, like, in the trailer, where it seems like she's Tony Stark-esque, like, down bad, and, like, has to, like, kind of rise up. Which I believe is what James Gunn was saying, that they don't allow, recently in superhero movies, they don't really allow, like, woman characters to be down bad. And it's kind of, they have to be prim and perfect, and I think they said we're going to see that. Which, if it, like, is similar to Jessica Jones. Obviously, I know he didn't do that, but the first season, Jessica Jones, is one of the best like seasons of superhero shows ever. So,
Yep. And then moving on to TV, you got Stranger Things. The next batch of episodes drop on Christmas, and then the last episode, or should I say, the last movie drops on New Year's Eve. So prepare for that. And also, there's a Nancy spinoff series, The Boys. The first two episodes drop April 8th. You no longer have any reason to be mad at me.
I saw that, yeah.
You have no reason to be mad because you only get two episodes. We can fit it in. Yes. Fit it in the schedule. So yeah, and then Fallout Season 2 drops December 17th.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, aka this week is when you're listening to this episode, so I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Is it following the New Vegas storyline, I think, for this season?
It's looking like it's very New Vegas-esque. How much of it is going to be New Vegas? Well, if it's going to be straight just New Vegas or they're going to like implement like the other games, like four. Because like last season, it was pretty much like basically Fallout 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Mixed with Fallout 1. But nobody remembers Fallout 1. So
I'm glad they finally teased the Deathclaw. That was what I was hoping we would get in season one.
Right. That thing needs to be there. That thing needs to be there. All right. So I'm sending it over to you.
All right. So since you covered Supergirl, the only other like teaser that I kind of wanted to cover, we finally got the first footage of Lanterns. So John Stewart and Hal Jordan, Grizzled Hal Jordan, which is really interesting because a lot of the times in the comics, comics and TV shows, the Hal that we have is like a young Hal, kind of what we saw in the original Green Lantern movie, also in like the kind of the animated series where, not the animated series, the animated movies later on, and then in the Justice League Unlimited and all those, like we see the John Stewart version of the character who is usually older. So it's definitely an interesting take in how they inverted it. And it appears like that where we're at now, John Stewart isn't like a full Green Lantern from what I saw in that one teaser trailer, which is going to be interesting. But also another cool thing is that they said, since it will be on HBO Max as it stands now, it's going to be True Detective-esque storyline. So hopefully they can pull from like the first season of True Detective.
Oh, if it's like that, we about to cook.
Yes, so definitely excited. I really love like that first real tease of it and what they showed. So that was kind of like my big things before we kind of transition to the other discussions.
To True Degeneracy.
So this is partially where the pod continues to go off the rails. But did you want to say anything about the Diddy Doc, or we can move to the next topic?
Let's just say, all right. So after finishing the last episode of the Diddy documentary, yes, I already knew at least a lot of the information, and it doesn't surprise me at all. But what I can say is this year, the year of our Lord 2025, is hands down the year of the haters.
Yes.
It is year of the haters because beginning of the year in February, we had Kendrick Lamar calling Drake a minor.
Oh my gosh.
On live TV in front of everybody at the Super Bowl. Then you got Kendrick going on tour, singing the same message with hundreds of fans live. I was there.
Indeed.
Then, and now, at the end of the year, we get 50 Cent out here displaying 20 plus years of hatred against P. Diddy in one documentary.
All because he wanted to go shopping with them.
Okay,
so I have a question. If this was the Players Haters Ball from Chappelle's show, who is winning? 50 or Kendrick?
Ooh, that's tough.
Because if you think about it, if you kept it strictly to 2025, you have to get rid of Kendrick's legendary 2024 run that led up to 2025. If it meets the cut.
Okay, so if we don't include 2024 in it, 50 wins that, because this man is out here on all news platforms giving interviews looking like he's about to bust out laughing. Jeez. At any moment, cheesing like his life depended on it. And these are all stations that play in prisons, so Diddy knows that it came from him.
You know what's crazy is that there's a lot of people choosing to die on the Diddy Hill of like being like, yo, why you gotta make this documentary about him? And stuff like that.
Are we talking about Ja Rule?
Well, no, I just, well, I think I did hear, I heard like three different black people be like, yo, why we gotta do this? Why we gotta take down a black man for the white man? I was like, bro, this ain't the one.
This is the one black man that deserve it.
I was like, this is the hill you want to die on. Interesting.
Woo. Hey, says a lot about him.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't really have much to say. It's like despicable, a lot of things. The one thing that was new for me, well, actually a lot of it, like in the first few episodes particularly, was new, just learning. But the whole Tupac thing and Biggie thing was, I did not know that to the extent that it was shown.
Oh, yeah. So I had like honestly, like over like 5 years ago, watched a BuzzFeed Unsolved on the murders of Tupac and Biggie. There were two separate episodes, and both episodes had P. Diddy as one of the suspects. And like the evidence they provided was like, that makes sense. And mind you, this is before all the Diddler information came out. Now that the Diddler information is out, it leads even more credence to the fact like, oh yeah, yeah, Diddy did it. He had a hand in it. I know he did for at least one of them.
You know, the dancing memes are out of pocket for a lot of them that would happen. I would like sharing it more, but I mean, it's like the things he did is so heinous. So I just kind of don't want to pull it up, especially for like the people that, you know, had to suffer through that. Yeah. So we will now transition to something that we need to talk about. I finally caught up on the last two episodes of It, Welcome to Derry. We're recording on the Sunday of the season finale. It hasn't dropped. When it finishes, we're probably going to watch it. Meech, given this and then what has happened recently with Sharon Moore, the former coach of Michigan, Dr. Umar's right.
Lord, have mercy. We must stay focused, brothers. We must stay focused.
My brothers, we got to stop.
No. That's a snow bunny crisis.
The dog. So I don't even know how to tackle this. So, okay, we're getting into major spoilers for It, Welcome to Derry. If you're watching the show, you haven't seen it.
Just skip ahead.
Skip ahead. If you're like, what are they talking about? And you just want to have a good time, please listen. So, homeboy, the pops, I think it's Hank. Yeah, Hank. So you want to be playing in the Johnson & Johnson with your Johnson. So now you don't have an alibi for the kids getting snatched up by it. And then she ends up being the one ratting you out. But then I'm just like, the other kids got in trouble because of Lily, another, you know, buddy. So she got them there, dragged all the black people in there, and then like with them wanted to take Hank out. Literally, like when they showed the scene of like kind of like the non-melanateds like getting in the cars with their guns and stuff, I was like thinking like, oh man, this reminds me of when my pappy back in the South before he migrated up here. Hey, yo! Get us one, boys.
Hey yo.
So, but that's how that scene went.
You're right. You're right, but bruh. Also,
your thoughts.
All I'm saying is, I was like, did having a clown for a woman, was it so good that you had to, that you almost risk going to jail? You risk going to jail for that.
A married clown with a woman. I mean,
a married woman clown with clear screws all the way loose.
I don't want to make jokes because I don't want to make jokes. I'm just trouble.
Hey. At least we can clearly say it ain't us.
Fan, because I'm like, yo, that she
nobody crisis is getting out of pocket.
Dude, this man, once again, Sharon Moore threw away his whole future. Got arrested. It's not funny, but it is. And then this dude got arrested. He got all those people killed because he wanted to play the stuff.
And then on the lighter side, we got Shameik Moore out here losing his mind.
Oh my God, I'm sweating.
I'm crying.
Oh man. All I gotta say is y'all gotta do better, man. This show is so crazy. I don't know if I love the show if I hate the show, because it just makes me so mad in like the best and worst ways at the same time.
Yeah, all I'm saying, I love the show, especially in the regards of screw them kids.
Okay, another thing with the kids. See, the thing is, I don't think the kids are bad actors. It's just like I find everything with the adults more interesting and better acted. So it's kind of like watching a high school basketball team, and then in the next quarter, an NBA basketball team, and then you go back to the high school basketball team, and this is like, dog, I kind of want to just focus on the adults at the moment. And then, no, another one that fell for it, my Latino brother, he fell for the snow.
Oh, no.
And he pulled a Titanic.
No, why?
So, I mean, just listen to Dr. Umar. He will guide us the right way.
Oh, one of the only times Dr. Umar was right.
Oh, man. Anything else with the show?
Just screw them kids. I'm just waiting for this finale to go ahead and pack at least one of them up.
Man, I hope they pack up that military people. Are you kidding me?
Okay, dude. Military people, obviously, but we need at least one kid to go.
We just lost, like, six this season.
I don't care. We need more.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, the plan was so stupid. They're literally like, we're just going to release the fear monster to control people. It's like, what are you talking about?
They all need to go.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so transitioning, we will try to get more serious. With that, we are going to transition into the Come Get Your Rose segment. So there's two things yesterday, December 13th, that both wrapped up. One a big part of our childhood, another a big part of our fandom, particularly in anime. So starting with the first one, yesterday was John Cena's final match. Meech, I don't know if you watched it or not.
I did.
Oh my gosh. So we can talk about that, and then we can also just talk about like his impact on us. I mean, obviously we both met him, took a picture with him, which is now framed and saved in every location. Yep. But yeah, if you just want to talk about that.
Yeah. So the final match, wow. Yeah, it was definitely an emotional match. Definitely, like, again, like his final match. I remember him coming onto the scene in like 2003. And yeah, he was definitely like an up and comer. He was a rising star, and he kept rising through the ranks. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, we followed him. He followed everything, and then in this final match, he gave all he had to give. He said, "I don't have much else to give anymore." And when I tell you, I was on my knees when he was in that headlock. I was like, "Bro, no, this ain't be how you go out."
That was tough. That was tough. When he tapped out, man, it was so deflating. You just felt it in the building. It is crazy. I get why outside of storyline-wise, but it's just like the dude that always preached never give up in his final moment, like giving up. But I feel like it was more passing on the torch. But I'm not going to focus on that because a lot of people have Triple H thoughts that maybe another day. But man, just like, I think that's one of my first real wrestling memories is him coming out, slapping Kurt Angle, going, you know, ruthless aggression. He's definitely, for our age, the first, like, true star we saw from start to finish. Because I would say that, obviously, we missed the Attitude Era with it. Just, like, from when we were born, we were, like, toddlers then. And then obviously a lot of people from that era were just like already legends by the time that we kind of got into the wrestling fandom. But seeing John go from that to the Doctor of Thugonomics with the spinner, oh man, that was something else. The black community ate that up. And then just like go from Super Cena, you know, the downfalls, the ups and downs of like people hating him, loving him, saying he's too corporate, doing not really semi-retirements, but leaving and transitioning. That U.S. title open challenge run was incredible. And then just, yeah, in his last moments and then seeing it, you're just like emotional. I'm at home literally doing the You Can't See Me, calling everything. And it's just, yeah, it's this finality. You know, obviously turning 30, which is still triggering, but that was the moment where I was like, dang, I feel old. Because that was like, now wait till LeBron retires. That's not
when LeBron retires, the whole world gonna stop. Remember when he faked his retirement announcement?
Yo,
everybody went insane for that. But
that's gonna break me. But yeah, John Cena definitely a lot. Obviously, it's a character. It's cheesy. I know people can get all like particular about pro wrestling the older you get, but man, just the thing that he gave and sacrificed to the business can't really be replicated. So definitely appreciate you, John.
Yeah, John, definitely made an impact on the wrestling world. You definitely changed up the game. You definitely brought everything you had to it, gave inspiration to us. But yo, we're going to miss you out there in the ring. But hey, we're going to still see you on the big screen and the small screen too as Peacemaker.
Absolutely. Once we get you out of that separate dimension.
Ooh.
So for this one, man, this one also hit. I think that this anime that I'm about to name next is the second most important debuting anime of the 2010s. And that is My Hero Academia. And why I say that is because My Hero Academia debuted right before anime blew up. Like right in the, cause like Shippuden was ending. Attack on Titan, I think, was because it came out in 2016. Attack on Titan was like got off of its hiatus, I think, to start season two or like season three in that realm. Demon Slayer doesn't pop up until 2019. And I would say 2019 is the explosion year. Black Clover doesn't come until 2017. And even then, 2017 Black Clover didn't really hit its peak until like 2018, 2019. But My Hero Academia was that shonen anime that kind of carried us through that. Not really a down period, but the transition period of anime. So, Meech, you want to give share thoughts on the final episode, its impact, and then also, since you read the manga, the kind of differences in that?
Yeah, I'd say like...
Oh, wait, one first. Spoiler warning, if you haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I'd say firstly, like the first major thing that I saw that was different was the fact that they didn't... show Deku working at McDonald's. So yeah, they got rid of, yeah, so of course they didn't have him going to McDonald's and have him put the fries in the bag, which I think was actually a good call, at least exercising that, because like, hey, it just shows like, yeah, Deku's like, he's back on track, like they're focusing on like his schooling and focusing like on the impact that he had on the world and like transitioning into them grown up. And I especially love the fourth wall break where it's like, hey, why am I still saying this? Because we still have some runtime left.
I love that.
Which is very similar to what happened in the manga where it's like, why am I still telling this story? Well, we still got a few pages left. And it's just like, yeah, seeing like our characters grown up, doing stuff like personality wise that they would do as pro heroes. It's like, yeah, that makes complete sense for them as characters.
The Todoroki glow up was crazy.
Oh, yeah. Todoroki, you know, rising up the ranks. And it's like, yeah, he's still awkward, but hey, everybody's inspired by him. And then, of course, Bakugo being Bakugo, he never changed, except to Deku. And yeah, it's just like, wow, seeing the characters like finally grow up. And then have that final send off of Iron Deku, of Iron Deku and them like flying off in the sky together, just like the manga. It hit almost the same.
Does he not do that in the manga, or does he?
Oh, he does.
Okay, because like from the way that people described it, it was like, oh, he loses his quirk, then he's a McDonald's employee, and then that's the end of the manga, like. That's all I heard from it before, like, the final season got here.
Yeah, no, it's just because, like, that was, like the penultimate chapter where it's like, oh, yeah, he doesn't have powers and he's working at McDonald's. Then okay. It's like the final chapter, which showed them all as adults. And then there was a bonus chapter released after that they haven't adapted yet, where it's basically Uraraka and Deku hooking up.
Oh, that's his hero.
Yep. Yeah, it hadn't been adapted yet. So, but yeah, it's like, okay. So it's like, yeah, you get that final scene. Of course, it harkened back to like the openings as they're swinging. It hit, at least for me, it hit almost in the same way that like when Dragon Ball GT ended and it showed like Goku walking away and it's showing memories of the past series. It almost hit just as much as that because like, wow. Series like we follow from beginning to end, seeing Deku go from a scared kid to to the greatest hero and impacting everyone else to be greater. Just like Goku going from a little country bumpkin to the world's, to the universe's savior.
Yes.
And seeing like it being their final goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Like it hits. It hits every time.
It's crazy, like its impact, because I would say that was one of the last major animes where like the criticism it received was like over the top to an extent, because like for Demon Slayer, I'll give an example. The biggest criticism of Demon Slayer is like, oh, it's all about the animation and like there's no story. And that's kind of like a hippie take to it, or where like if you want to sound like you're just the opposition, contrarian, just to say it. And then a lot of like other takes or like bashes are okay, animation quality. But for this one, it was like, oh man, why is this dude always crying? And it's like, how could you watch this? It's just kids stuff. And it's like every season it opens up with school stuff. When are we gonna get to the fighting? Like that type of criticism and being able to just like be consistent, which is not what a lot of animes do, especially these years. I mean, it debuted 9 years ago and they dropped 8 seasons, which tells you how consistent it was. And this was the only season where I think it didn't reach 20 episodes. And again, there was a pandemic in between that. So especially in a season, well, in a point in time where you might get like 3 years between you get from one season to the next of an anime, maybe even 6 seasons, and then the quality is crap. And then also like now, you know, the movies that they dropped, I guess they're technically canon from just like how it was showed in the some of the final fights, because you see the characters from the movies in the final fights.
Yeah, it kind of like it, you can say like it kind of made itself canon to the anime.
Yes. So, and then with that, like doing that, and it's just purely seasons, especially in a time period where it's like, oh, let's just turn a season into a movie. And so now you have to wait for the movie to come out, and then also you have to wait for the other seasons to come out. So I think that's why we give it credit. And then just able to appreciate the story of Deku, because when I found out that he loses Quirk, like when that was kind of spoiled before like this final season came out, I was like, dang, that's stupid. But when you see him fight Shigaraki, it was like the way he lost his Quirk was like literally the only way they could beat Shigaraki, because he had too much plot armor. So, and how that tied into like anybody can be a hero, not just people with powers, and like the parallel of the kid at the end of the season, well, like the penultimate episode, and then the final episode, he comes out with like the shadow stuff, and you see that same old lady that had the chance to reach out to Shigaraki but didn't, and then she reached out to him and was like, yo, you're gonna be okay, grandma's here for you. And it's like those little moments are heroism, and I think that's what the show was about, which I respect through this journey. So
yeah, agreed. Anybody can be a hero. You just have to have that willing and open hand, because if that granny didn't learn her lesson, there could have been another Shigaraki. But then you also see that Deku and Uraraka were there, so they perhaps would have intervened. But yeah,
you
it's
see,
like
okay, you see the impact. Yeah.
Yeah, you see, it's like, okay, you don't have. And I think that was something like that was shown in the series and as well in the manga. Like, hey, villain rises are on the decline because ordinary people are doing their part to be heroes as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, that can apply to today. You don't need you don't need to be fully law enforcement in order to exercise true divine justice. Oh, wait, sorry. My Goku Black took over.
Justice.
Sorry, my Goku Black took over for a second there. My bad.
All right, so that was all I had with that, but I appreciate it. Definitely going to catch up on Vigilantes. I look forward to the inevitable spinoff of the show that happens.
Oh, yeah, Vigilantes is the only thing left now.
Well, there will probably be another spinoff of the main My Hero series. It's inevitable. Just please don't be Boruto.
Maybe. As long as it ain't bored.
All right. So from there, we can get to our plugs and get up out of here. Oh,
All right.
again, next week will be our mid-season finale. That one might be even more off the rails. So let's go.
All right, so for our Instagram, X formerly known as Twitter and Threads, we are Blurred City 22. Like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date on all notifications. We have our Discord linked to our Instagram page. Hey, join this fine community of pure degeneracy. We have our YouTube and Patreon under Blurred City Pod. Donate some cheddar, get access to exclusive episodes early and episodes never before seen. You also have our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com, where you can send your thoughts on the Game Awards, your thoughts on John Cena's retirement, and your thoughts on My Hero, as well as the Diddy documentary and It Screw Them Kids. And then also for me, I'm the Jedi born on Mustafar on Instagram and TikTok. Everyone, we got TikTok. What we got?
All right, for my individual author pages, we have my Instagram. That is Mitri underscore dash. That is Mitri underscore DASH. For at my X slash Twitter, that is at the Mad Dash 16. For interested in my novel, Phantom Reckoning, that is available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes and Noble. This is going to be the last month that you can buy the merch for us. So please buy the merch. We got to fund these weddings. So from there, we can get into our words of encouragement.
All right, so for my words of encouragement is that you could take your circumstance and go beyond that to do something great, and you can also do stuff for the sake of others and be a reaching hand.
All right, for mine, a little bit on the deep end, but recently I saw that the Chiseled Adonis lost one of his brothers, passed away. So, that's a content creator that we both love, someone that we both met in person. So, again, just like I had a kind of like a rough week with like work and stuff, and then just stress with other things, but that kind of put it into perspective, like the things that really matter are just like the people that are around us through the screen from us, or just like that we truly care about. So obviously we have to deal with things how we have to deal with them, but some of the things that we let have control or authority over our thoughts, actions and emotions aren't really that serious. So just tell the people you around them, you love them and appreciate them.
Yeah, agreed. I'm gonna check up on them later.
Yeah. So from there, I was gonna say, it's not goodbye forever, it's just goodbye for now. That's the Blurred City Podcast.
See ya later.